Good morning, University of Manitoba campus, and welcome to UMFM's information and entertainment program, Your Campus Today, for Wednesday, January 16th. I'm going to be your host, David Dufane. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 11:30 a.m., we bring you all the U of M news that's fit for your ears, plus keep you in the loop on just a few of the great events going on here at the U of M campus that you need to know about. On today's show, consider spending a semester abroad. The UMGSA shuffles its executive deck, and the faculties of agriculture and music announce a new dean appointments across the board. All this and more coming up next right here on Your Campus Today. Archives are no longer just about anthropologists taking notes. These archives are people telling their own stories in their own languages and sharing their knowledge more directly through the use of video and audio, says Raymond Frogner, head of the archives at the National Center for Truth and Reconciliation. With its decolonizing and indigenizing approach, the NCTR archives is unique. In fact, the NCTR is committed to indigenizing the archival profession. Prioritizing the hiring of indigenous interns and archive staff, it also seeks advice and guidance from the Survivors Circle, a seven-member body of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis survivors from various regions, selected by the NCTR's governing circle. Archivists at the NCTR are tasked with the keeping of records, history, and stories from survivors of residential schools. The NCTR also provides a platform for mentorship and guidance as archivists and non-archivists bridge the gap between information and archives and an understanding of this information by the general public. Archivists at the NCTR are tasked with the keeping of records, histories, and stories from survivors of residential schools. The NCTR is blessed with an amazing collection of testimonies, over 7,000 personal, intimate, and eyewitness accounts of people's experiences in residential schools, says Frogner. The real gem of what we are holding is a cross-country collection of the thoughts and experiences from the indigenous communities from north, east, and west. The use of audio and video tools allow for archiving oral history and stories in a way that wasn't possible in the past. Elders and survivors from across the country now have the ability to tell their stories to people outside the community and in classrooms they may not be able to reach otherwise. Indigenous input is incorporated in the outset in processing records that were buried and inaccessible, so past narratives are preserved without forgetting the context in which the residential school records were created, interpreting them through an Indigenous lens. Ongoing community engagement meets the needs of survivors, intergenerational survivors, and their families. The NCTR digital archivist Jesse Boiteau, who is Métis, was encouraged to explore Indigenous voices in archives by his mentors Tom Nesmith, senior scholar, and Greg Back, associate professor in the Archival Studies Master's Program at the U of M. When he started working in the Provincial Archives of Manitoba in 2008, it was obvious to Boiteau that the Indigenous records housed in archives were predominantly written by non-Indigenous peoples, placing Indigenous peoples as subjects of the records. At the NCTR, he says, no one accepts the status quo of traditional Western archival theory and practice. We work collaboratively to discover innovative ways of how technology and Indigenous input can put decolonizing archival theory into practice, says Boiteau. I am also mentored every day by the words of survivors, whom I've either met in person or witnessed on screen in audiovisual testimonies. They are at the heart of the NCTR archives, says Boiteau. And so the NCTR has become a mentor to all of Canada in sharing of the difficult history and experiences of residential schools, opening the doors to all in the interest of implementing the United Nations Declaration of Rights and Indigenous Peoples. The NCTR is also providing a place for academics from all disciplines to begin connecting with Indigenous communities, to break down barriers and start building relationships. The UN Declaration of Rights of Indigenous Peoples is here for the self-determination of Indigenous rights. The NCTR is a strong center for the study, preservation, and pursuit of those rights, says Frogner. There's a new set of relationships built, and hopefully we can bridge to building those relationships. The National Center for Truth and Reconciliation is located at Chancellor's Hall, 177 Dysart Road, University of Manitoba. Charisse Molgat never imagined her University of Manitoba education could take her on a voyage to 16 European countries over 9 weeks, during which she would travel with partners from different countries, stay in strangers' homes, and immerse herself in local culture. Thanks to the U of M's International Student Exchange Program, students like Molgat have participated in educational experiences around the world. With the program managed by the International Center and open to students across faculties, students can spend one or two terms of their degree programs abroad. It was probably the best year of my life, says Molgat, who spent a year in Germany with the program. I experienced a lot of personal growth in terms of getting out of my shell and exploring, not just the city or the country, but most of Europe. Highlights include biking through Ireland with a friend from Canada and moving into with two exchange students from France during her second semester. I think it's an incredible opportunity. You can't do these types of experiences when you're working, so traveling and intercultural experiences are important when you're in university. She adds, I made a lot of connections with new people, other international students and local German citizens, people of all ages who were interested in talking about culture and language. Of course, studying abroad can bring about challenges, including culture shock and language barriers. However, the International Center's exchange partner schools are chosen because they offer courses taught in English, which significantly reduces the language barrier experienced by students on exchange. Students also receive pre-departure training to help them prepare for being in a new country and culture. This preparation helps students take in as much as possible while abroad. While you're there, if there is any opportunity to go out and do something, do it, says Mulgat. Be there for the learning experience, but also for yourself and for personal growth. The main application period for the exchange program is December 1st, 2018 to January 31st, 2019, with a secondary application period from March to April 2019. The International Center can guide students through every step of the exchange application process. Students who are considering applying for the program can meet with an exchange advisor to discuss eligibility requirements and potential destinations. They should also meet with their faculty student advisors to discuss how an exchange can fit within their academic programs. Many courses completed at exchange universities are eligible for transfer back to the U of M. The U of M has partnerships with international universities in Australia, Denmark, France, Germany, Hong Kong, Hungary, Iceland, Japan, South Korea, Mexico, Sweden, Ukraine, and the United Kingdom. In addition to the exchange program, the International Center also offers other international education opportunities like Students Without Borders internships. For more information, visit umanitoba.ca/research/international_center/exchange.html. International students from partner universities who are interested in attending the U of M through the exchange program can learn at umanitoba.ca/research/international_center/students_partner.html. The University of Manitoba Graduate Students Association is restructuring its executive team. The number of executive positions is being reduced from 6 to 5 by combining the VP External and VP Marketing into a single position, VP Services and Support. The VP Academic position will also serve as one of the association's 3 representatives of the University Senate. The combined changes are expected to save more than $16,000 annually, according to the UMGSA President Carl Neumann. The UMGSA budget is stretched to the limit, and other cost savings have not been sufficient, he said. Combining the positions saves the UMGSA $12,000 a year by reducing our number of VPs by 1. Attaching the Senate position with the VPA portfolio will save another $4,200, he said. Neumann added many of the duties traditionally performed by the VP marketing have already been taken over by the association's office assistant, and combining the positions will even out the executive assignments. Both the VPE and VPME roles have relatively fewer duties associated with them, at least in terms of the time that is needed, and combining the roles will make all VP positions more equal in terms of workload, he said. The VP Services and Support role will attend to non-academic student support issues, including mental health and family-friendly policies that are currently divided among the executives, Neumann said. We believe that having a single dedicated executive overseeing them will allow the UMGSA to be more actively involved in these areas, as well as provide even more active oversight of the UPAS and health and dental programs that are run in collaboration with UMSU, he said. Beyond cost-saving measure, Neumann said appointing the VP Academic to the Senate will allow the representative to sit on Senate committees that can only be filled by student senators. Currently, the VPA attends Senate as a guest and serves as co-chair of the Student Senate Caucus, despite not actually being a senator. Our VPAs have felt relatively disconnected from the active work of the Senate, Neumann said, adding that with our future VPAs as senators themselves, these issues will be eliminated and our VPAs can be active participants in the Senate. UMSU passed a motion condemning the Canadian Federation of Students for affirming its support for the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement at its last meeting of 2018 in December. The motion, which was brought forward by Member-at-Large Max Block, was put to a vote and passed at the December 6th board meeting. The motion includes notes that it was brought forward not on the basis that it recognizes the BDS campaign as anti-Semitic and calls the Federation's motion an unnecessary and ill-considered intervention into international politics for a student federation. Members of the Canadian Federation of Students voted to endorse the BDS's movement, which calls for nonviolent activism to, according to the movement's official website, end international support for Israeli violations of international law by forcing companies, institutions, and governments to change their policies at the Federation's annual general meeting in November 2018. UMSU voted against the motion at the AGM. UMSU President Jacob Sanderson said the board decided to bring forward the motion after already voting against it at the meeting because the union wanted to formally condemn the Federation's past movement. While we are certainly in no way trying to oppose the BDS as a movement, I think that it's just a matter of UMSU restating its independence to be able to represent our members as we see fit, and in as united a way as possible, he said. Along with the condemnation, UMSU's support also calls for the board to reject the Federation's call to action, release statements affirming UMSU's unequivocal support for both Palestinian and Israeli communities on campus, and that UMSU work with the Muslim Student Association, the University of Manitoba Chapter of Hillel, the University of Manitoba Spiritual Care, and any other interested groups to arrange an event surrounding interfaith dialogue and peace. Sanderson said the Federation's decision to support the BDS movement was not inclusive of all students in the Federation. UMSU stands to rebuke the idea that student federations that our members pay into are pursuing what is, in our board's view, divisive practices that are not beneficial to the student movement at large and are not representative of the united views of our students. We're going to be taking a quick break, but don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with more of Your Campus Today.
The Black Hole Theater's second main stage production of Peer Gynt opens on the 23rd of January at the John J. Conklin Theater at the Teche Arts Complex. The play, written by Henrik Ibsen, is a classic, and the title character is one of the most beloved comic heroes in the world theatrical repertoire. The play itself, one of the most beloved comedies. We follow Peer's adventures and sexual escapades as he journeys across two continents trying to find himself. The world Ibsen creates in this play is a fantastic and surreal one, peopled by trolls, invisible monsters, nymphomaniac cowgirls, mysterious apparitions, and the devil himself. This production is the university's contribution to the RMTC's Master Playwright Festival this year. The production also includes live performance of new music commissioned for this production from Quinn Joseph, the U of M student who composed the music for the Black Hole's production of Murat Zod last season. The performance will take place from the 23rd of January to the 2nd of February. Tickets can be purchased in advance or at the doors. For reservations, performance times, and group rates, please call 204-474-6880.
On January 14, 2019, a new leadership development program at the University of Manitoba opened to applicants. Unique in Canada and of strategic importance to Manitoba's business and economy, the program will develop leaders across various industries, helping them better address our province's significant challenges. The Institute for Leadership Development in the Asper School of Business will run its first cohort of the present student leadership program beginning in June 2019. Participants from diverse backgrounds and experience will gain a broad perspective on leadership, including ethical implications, problem solving, the role of leaders in social change, and the challenges of leading in critical sectors of our economy and society. The program is designed for students already active as leaders in their community who are looking to improve their skills and more fully achieve their potential. Susan Gagneau, program director, explains, "This program is designed to guide the participants to thrive in their careers, no matter what field or discipline. They will learn from top leaders in Manitoba about some of the biggest leadership issues and opportunities, and how these leaders confronted those challenges. Students will learn firsthand from these site visits, as well as hands-on workshops, and collaborate with their program peers in different walks of life, disciplines, and backgrounds to gain insight into what they have learned and develop more advanced and broader perspectives as leaders both now and for the future. Students will examine contemporary leadership issues and engage with locally and internationally renowned leaders from social services to the arts, indigenous leadership, the justice system, healthcare, IT, and construction and trades. This program is designed for students already active as leaders in their community who are looking to improve their skills and more fully achieve their potential. We want students to know how to collaborate and partner and want to learn more," says Gagneau. "It will help you move from good to better to best." The President Student Leadership Program is open to students of all faculties and colleges of the University of Manitoba. It is also open to students of the partner schools of the University of Winnipeg, Red River College, and University College of the North. The long-term plan is for the program to be open to all post-secondary institutions in Manitoba. Admission to the program will be based on a combination of students' leadership experience and potential, demonstrated by their leadership commitment and impact to date, and will reflect Manitoba's diverse population and student body. The program will accept a maximum of 28 post-secondary students, 70% from the U of M and 30% from partner schools, and the application process is open only from January 14, 2019 to February 25, 2019. Applicants should be halfway through their academic program, but not in their final year. Dr. Martin Scanlon has been appointed Dean of the Faculty of Agricultural and Food Sciences at the University of Manitoba for a 5-year term effective January 1st, 2019. He brings to the position strong academic and administrative skills, an exceptional research record, and deep commitment to ensuring that the faculty continues to provide leadership in the agri-food sector. I look forward to working together with partners across a wide spectrum to develop research capacity that aligns with the University of Manitoba's priorities in food and agriculture, he said. Collaboration drives us forward because interdisciplinary perspectives often shed new light on the complex problems we encounter in food systems research. A professor in the Department of Food and Human Nutritional Sciences, Dr. Scanlon, has served as Associate Dean Research, Chair for the National Center for Livestock and the Environment, and acting head of the former Department of Food Science. He was previously employed at the Canadian Grain Commission, Grain Research Lab in Winnipeg, and the Flour Milling and Baking Research Association in Chorleywood, England. Dr. Scanlon has championed several cross-campus initiatives, including setting up top funding for internal interdisciplinary research with Faculty of Science academics and a roundtable workshop that brought agronomists and other agricultural crop and soil experts together with data scientists to discuss multidisciplinary approaches to leveraging existing big data sources and expertise, machine learning, and AI. He was also instrumental in establishing the University of Manitoba Food Systems Research Group, a multidisciplinary research activity centered on safe, healthy, just, and sustainable food systems that fosters the exchange of ideas and information, the pursuit of research initiatives, and the training of graduate students in this area. Among his priorities over the next 5 years will be the continued renewal of the faculty's undergraduate programming, the 2-year diploma in agriculture program, launched its revised curriculum in fall 2018, and the Bachelor of Science programs are currently under review. Our alumni can be found in all sectors of the food system in this country, from agricultural production and food processing to translating nutrition information into enhanced health and well-being for Canadians. It's our job to ensure that our students have the tools and knowledge they require to succeed, he said. We see opportunities in experiential learning, hands-on student research, and exposure to current and emerging technologies as valuable components of a refreshment of the curriculum. Dr. Scanlon's own research explores the mechanisms of change in the physical and chemical properties of food materials during processing and culinary operations. He's keenly interested in how food processing changes the mechanical properties of food materials and seeks to design better-tasting foods with improved nutrient profiles. For example, his innovative work examining bubbles in bread and noodle dough using ultrasound and the Canadian light source synchrotron has opened up new avenues of research that connect to food quality and Canadian wheat production. A graduate of Leeds University, he has disseminated his work in more than 120 articles and 125 refereed journal papers. He holds 2 patents and with his collaborators has brought in over $16.2 million in research funding. He is also active in professional activities, sitting in the editorial boards of 2 scientific journals and participating in governance roles for scientific societies. He was the first Canadian recipient of the AACC International George W. Scott Blair Lecture Award for exceptional ability in research areas involving rheology and texture as relating to cereal-based products. Dr. Scanlon has been an active participant on various university committees, including Senate, the Senate Appeals Committee, and the Senate Committee on University Research. Dr. Scanlon was recently elected to serve on the Board of Directors for the AACC International and has served on several national and provincial advisory panels, including the Food Department Center Advisory Panel and NSERC's Discovery and Strategic Grants panels. In addition to his research and service, Dr. Scanlon is an inspirational teacher and has advised or co-advised 81 postdoctoral fellows, graduate students, and undergraduate student researchers. His teaching excellence has been acknowledged with the University of Manitoba student-nominated awards at the undergraduate and graduate levels. Dr. Edward Jerkowski, a strong leader and passionate advocate for music and the arts, has been appointed Dean of the Desautels Faculty of Music, effective January 1st, 2019. Dr. Jerkowski has received his undergraduate degree in musical composition from the University of Manitoba before earning his doctorate in music theory from the University of Rochester. For the past 22 years, he has served the University of Lethbridge, most recently as its dean in the Faculty of Fine Arts, home to the Department of Music. He has disseminated his research in several books, journals, and conferences, and his teaching excellence has been recognized by 2 Distinguished Teaching Award nominations. Dr. Jerkowski has garnered the reputation of being a valued collaborator and a strong administrator. During his tenure at the U of L, Dr. Jerkowski has held several administrative roles and served on various campus-wide committees. Outside of the academy, he has served as president of the Canadian University Music Society, chair of the standing committee of the institutional members of MuseCan, and is currently vice chair of the Canadian Association of Fine Art Deans. The University of Manitoba is pleased to welcome Dr. Jerkowski back to Winnipeg and looks forward to the faculty's promising future under his leadership. This story should take you about 90 seconds to hear, which is half of 3 minutes, which is how much time you have to present your thesis at this year's 3-minute thesis competition. You probably heard other grad students referring to it as the 3MT, as in, hey, you should do 3MT. Your advisor will support you doing 3MT because if you can explain the depths and impacts of your research in 3 minutes, you're going to do well on grant applications. It's also fun, like academic adrenaline rush fun. Here's another great reason to do this. You can talk about your research to people outside your department and they won't just be pretending to care. In fact, they will want to hear more about your study. They may even begin to understand your passion and why you sleep in your lab some nights, miss family dinners, or arrive late again for cheap wing night. You're a grad student, so you're obviously a hard worker and enjoy challenges. You could probably also make use of one of the cash prizes. 2 years ago, Carly Dick tried her hand at the 3MT and won. She presented on how nutrition can potentially reduce the risk of FASD. To her, 3MT offered refreshing opportunities. First off, it's great to present what you've worked on for a couple of years and to have people want to listen. That's kind of nice. And I just like the challenge of it. It was exhilarating. 3 years ago, Rebecca Dielschneider-DeLong presented at 3MT about finding better therapies for leukemia. She won the U of M competition and placed second at the Nationals. She also loved the unique and rewarding challenge that is 3MT. Preparing for the 3-minute thesis was definitely the hardest thing I have done as a graduate student, by far. Gauntlet thrown down. So what's stopping you from picking up your gauntlet? We already know you're smart and driven. Afraid of a lack of time? You're a grad student. You're already great at multitasking, so practice while you're knitting or eating dinner. It's worth it because the 3MT is fun and will give you the skills that will, as we discuss, make you excel at wooing funders and help you schmooze your way through any cocktail party. 3MT is like superpower training camp. Maybe this or this will convince you that you already have the tools to do what you need. Go talk to your advisor. When you're ready, come back and apply here. The deadline is January 28th. And look, that was just 90 seconds. Low-key, honestly 2 minutes, but basically 90 seconds. So 3 minutes? Pfft. That's a ton of time. You got this. See you at the heats. Considering graduate studies in history, 3 new scholarships will soon be available for first-year students in the Joint Master's Program in History offered by the University of Manitoba and the University of Winnipeg. The Winnipeg Foundation Fellowship for Master's Studies in Canadian History are entrance awards at $17,500 each, 1 year, and they're for students pursuing a master's degree in Canadian and Indigenous History, beginning in the fall of 2019. The Winnipeg Foundation has generously donated the money to support these important scholarships, which will help further our understanding of Canadian and Indigenous history. All students who have met the criteria for the fellowship apply to the Joint MA, History, and are admitted to the program automatically will be considered for the Winnipeg Foundation Fellowship for Master's Studies in Canadian History. Learn more about applying to the MA History program at umanitoba.ca/faculties/graduate_studies/admissions/programs/history.html. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to be closing out today's show with a track from another one of the many great participants this year's Big Fun Festival. Here's Winnipeg's own Yes, We Mystic with their track Felsenmeer. Have a great day, everybody. I'll be back on Friday to wrap up our week. It's going to be a great one. As always, I've been me, you've been you. My name is David Defane. Actually, one last thing. Make sure to hit up the career fair. It's the last day today going on. Right when this show is airing, the career fair is going on, so definitely come down. My name is David Defane. And this has been Your Campus Today.
I'm amazed by everything. I don't understand. Why am I ashamed of what comes from my I'm
Your Campus Today is a collaborative production between UM Today, the Manitoban, the Department of Student Life, and this station, UMFM 101.5. Thanks for listening, folks. If you have a story you'd like us to feature or want to send in feedback, please email us at campustoday@umfm.com.